Technology TV.
Oh my God, Harold. Harold, he's not still talking about this topic, is he, Harold? Tell me it's not so. Oh, it's so. I have to, Maud. Why do you have to? Why do you insist? Why are you so stubborn, Martin Zander? Because people might make wrong life decisions. Yeah, that's the moon back there. There it is, right on the tip of my thumb. Hello, everybody. Martin Zander. I'm outdoors at 4:15 a.m., which is normal for me. We might have a little wind interference here, even though I have a nice little spongy thing on the end of my microphone, but we'll make do. What is the advanced will of the Lord today? The advanced will of the Lord. Well, according to our friend and fellow believer, Clyde Pilkington, the advanced will of the Lord is, quote, marriage, parenting, and employment. Marriage, parenting, and employment. Clyde continues in the Bible Students Notebook article I quoted from yesterday. I'll put the reference down here. According to Paul, this is the advanced will of our Lord for today, so much so that single women are instructed to marry, bear children, and guide the house. Clyde is quoting Paul in 1 Timothy 5:14. So we have this line again created that, well, let me just quote Clyde from the recent video. Seven things I misunderstood about prophecy. I'm quoting now, if I can see this. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul said, I would that men were like me, unmarried, and so on. He counseled people not to get married in 1 Corinthians 7. But when he writes to Timothy later, he says, I will therefore the younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house. Something has changed. Something is going on. Well, nothing has changed. And the only thing going on is that Clyde is taking scripture out of context again, and even changing the wording of scripture from the concordant literal New Testament. He's not using the concordant literal New Testament. He's using his own words. I say to you, no, marriage and parenting are not the advanced will of the Lord for today. In fact, here's the most shocking thing I might say today. I'll probably say something more shocking a little later, but if somebody really wants to be advanced, do you really want to be advanced? Then you'll never get married, never have children, you can have pets, and you will dedicate yourself fully to the service of Christ. That is advanced. That was, after all, think of it, that was the station of our great apostle Paul. Aren't you glad that Paul didn't have to worry about remembering his wife's birthday, or figure out how to put his kids in braces, or pay for his dog's boarding every time he went on a missionary journey? Oh my God. No. Had Paul been married with children, he may not have had time to write the book of Ephesians. Well, he wouldn't have been in jail anyway, because he wouldn't have done anything radical to get himself in jail so as to deprive his wife, his children, and his dog. No. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, I want all humans to be as I myself also, but each has his own gracious gift from God. So do you think this somehow miraculously changed after Acts 28, 28? No, after Acts 28, 28, would Paul have suddenly said, you know, I'm actually disadvantaged not to have a wife, a kid, a factory job, and a German shepherd? I wish everyone was not like me. No, Paul never said that. So, shockingly, Clyde's use of the term, this is in his Bible Students Notebook article, his use of the term, single women. I want single women to marry. It's not only the term single women is not only absent from 1 Timothy 5:3, but it's misleading. It's totally misleading as to the truth. As though Paul were now recommending marriage to every single woman. And thus contradicting his recommendations to the Corinthians. But no, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the same era that Paul was in when he wrote 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy and Galatians and Romans and Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians, same freaking era. And I proved that many different ways in another newsletter, but that's a truth for another time. Now I'm going to read 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 15. Yeah, I'm going to read the whole passage. And we're going to see that Clyde is not, that I keep confusing Clyde with Paul. We're going to see that Clyde is not recommending marriage in this new era. Oh, no, he's not. He's recommending it for a certain group of people. And even that certain group of people, and we will see, he's actually ticked off that they're wanting to get married. Yes, oh, the joys and the wonders of context. Oh. Because, as we have seen, this position that Clyde is, this position that Paul has changed his mind, that in the early days he recommended marriage, in the early days he said, don't get married, I want you to be single for Christ, I don't want you to have worries in this life. Now, apparently, Paul does want you to have worries in this life. Paul does want you to be distracted. Here we go. 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 15, the context. Because, as we have seen before, this position is so desperate that in Acts 26, for instance, when Paul is testifying before Agrippa, he says, I have not spoken anything except what is written in the law and the prophets. That's all Clyde always says, and he stops, and then he extrapolates. But he stops in the middle of a sentence. I'm reviewing here. Paul said, I didn't say anything in the past except what is written in the law and the prophets concerning impending events. Clyde leaves that out. And in 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul says, let those who have wives be as not having wives, Clyde stops there every time. Never goes on to the next phrases, which proves that this is timeless truth. Let the rejoicing be not rejoicing. Let those mourning be not mourning. Let those using this world not use it up. Let those buying things be as though not retaining them. That's timeless truth. Okay, here we go. 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 15. Widows be honoring who are really widows. Now if any widow has children or descendants, let them learn to be devoted to their own household first. He doesn't say, if any widow has children or descendants, let her get married. Nope, doesn't say that. And we're talking about widows here, not single women, not women in general, widows. Let them learn to be devoted to their own household first and reciprocate by paying their progenitors, for this is welcome in God's sight. Now, one really a widow, what does Paul mean, really a widow? We're going to find out here soon. Now, one really a widow and alone, a real widow who's a good person, toeing the line, still taking care of her household, paying her progenitors. If she is alone, she relies on God and is remaining in petitions and prayers night and day. Period, night and day. So, this is in Ephesians Paul's latest, greatest letter, one of them, he wrote from prison. He's saying the same thing he said in 1 Corinthians 7. See, this is a false line. 1 Corinthians 7, don't get married. Ephesians, yes, everybody must get married. I want you to be distracted. I want you to have problems. I want you to not be fully devoted to Christ. No. No. Now, one really a widow and alone relies on God. Exactly what he's saying in 1 Corinthians 7. If you're alone, whether you're a widow or you're just unmarried in general, even if you're divorced, Paul says, if you've lost a wife, do not seek a wife. Do not seek a wife. Same advice here. One really a widow and alone relies on God, is remaining in petitions, prayers. Yet, here we go, yet. She who is a prodigal, that is a widow who's like a prodigal, in other words, a widow lost her husband, now she's going to partay. No, she who is a prodigal, though living, is dead. These things also charge, that they may be irreprehensible. Now, if anyone is not providing for his own, especially for his family, he has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let no widow be listed, that is listed for financial help from the ecclesia. Let no widow be listed of less than 60 years, having been the wife of one man, attested by ideal acts. If she nourishes children, if she is hospitable, if she washes the saints' feet, if she relieves the afflicted, if she follows up with every good work. Yet, the younger widows refuse. That is, a young widow who's still in the party phase of her life. Paul says, I don't want the ecclesia providing for her needs. Sounds like rough advice. Well, not so rough. It's good advice. We're going to see that shortly. Excuse me for one moment. I got to have three jets. Yet, the younger widows refuse, for whenever they should be restive against Christ. That's the context. Widows who are restive against Christ. Not really interested in, I'm not interested in this Christ business anymore. I don't want no more of it. I'm tired of toeing the line. Since my husband's gone, I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm going to be restive. I'm going to be a busybody. Look around for trouble. That's what I'm going to do, honey. Ooh, yeah. No, refuse those widows. For whenever they should be restive against Christ, they are wanting to marry. Paul's actually criticizing them for wanting to marry in this context. They just want to marry because they're restive against Christ. Paul doesn't even want them to marry under that circumstance. They're wanting to marry, having judgment, seeing that they repudiate their first faith. They're just getting married to get away from Christ. I want to get away from Christ. I don't like it no more. Ain't nobody got time for that. Yet at the same time, they are learning to be idle also. This is the context. Young widows who are just wanting to marry to get away from Christ. That's the context. They're restive against Christ. And they're also learning to be idle, wandering about the homes. We don't want these young single widows wandering around at different homes. No, we want them to take care of their kids. We want them to know. We would that they would be single and pure toward Christ. But these particular widows are not that way. They're wandering about the homes, learning to be idle. Yet not only are they idle, but gossips also. I'm just quoting Paul here. And meddlers. They're meddlers. They meddle in other people's business. They're speaking what they must not, quoting Paul from the Concordant Version. I am intending then. See, the word then is very important. Based on what Paul just said, I am intending then that the younger widows are to be marrying, bearing children, managing the household, giving an opposer nothing as an incentive, favoring, reviling, for already some were turned aside after Satan. There you go. What's missing from Klein's presentation? The whole freaking context. He starts with this. He says, I'm intending then that younger widows are to be marrying. Clyde says younger women. Changes it. He even says in this article, he says single women. And his quote from the video, he said, I would that, he says, Paul later says in Timothy, I will therefore the younger women. Problem, red flag, in the text, Paul doesn't say younger women. He says younger widows. That's the freaking context. The importance of the word then, I cannot overemphasize. Therefore, I will attempt to overemphasize it, but I will fail because, as I just said, it cannot be overemphasized. I'm intending then, based on what I just said, that these younger widows are becoming restive against Christ. They're marrying for the wrong reasons. They're becoming meddlers, gossips, idle. Paul says, I want them to marry because if they don't, they're so crazy that they're going to give the word of God, give the evangel a bad name. Therefore, I'm going to concede something here. Basically, Paul says, I'm going to concede and say, you know, let these people marry because it's better for them to be married in this instance based on kind of people they are and tend to be, it's better for them to marry than to continue being gossips, to continue being meddlers, to continue wandering about the homes. Okay, the whole context is missing. And that's how desperate this position is. It has to cut off in the middle of sentences. We've seen that twice. And it has to ignore entire block of context. So there was a problem in the early ecclesias. So Paul praised widows who were really widows, that is, who were content in their widowhood and relied on God with continual petitions and prayers to him. These widows, those above 60 years of age, were worthy of support. Paul didn't recommend that they marry. You notice that Paul didn't, even though they're women, even though they're single women because they've been widowed, Paul does not recommend that they get married. Yeah, he doesn't. But there were many younger widows who were, in Paul's estimation, not really widows. That's what he means. They're not really widows. Who, in their youth, and without a responsible head, became restive against Christ, and again, wanted to marry. Here, Paul's actually blaming these widows for wanting to marry. Because their desire wasn't pure, you see. That's the problem. But it was a result of their impatience. Restiveness, same thing. A synonym, their impatience against Christ. And Paul actually predicts judgment against such women because they repudiated their first faith. Quoting Paul, and he calls such women prodigals. But that's not all. No, that's not all. The younger widows, rebelling against their first love, tended to be idle, and nothing bugged Paul more. Bugged Paul to see idle people. So now we get to the whole truth in context. Again, I am intending then. I write in ZWTF, the importance of the word then ought to be clear. Paul's not recommending marriage wholesale to all single women. He only recommends it to the young widows on the heels of learning. On the heels of Paul learning, I'm intending then, that these single women were becoming worthless gossips, accomplishing nothing other than, well, yeah, they were accomplishing something. They're providing opposers with every excuse to revile the truth and turn to Satan. Not good. In order of this ugly possibility only, in light of this possibility only, does Paul recommend marriage. To him, it's the lesser of two unfortunate possibilities. Clearly, from his first statements of this passage in verses 3 through 5, Paul would prefer widows to remain single. What do you know? The exact advice he gives in 1 Corinthians 7. Perfectly consistent with that. And so, I say all this because this advice from our brother is so bad that people could potentially arrange their lives making bad decisions because they think that marriage is the be-all, end-all of spirituality today in the, quote, advanced will of God. The advanced will of God. As I said yesterday, the advanced will of God is to come to a realization of the truth, a realization of your expectation, a realization of your calling. Paul actually wants people loving Christ's appearing. He wants them single-minded and focused on their allotment in Christ Jesus. I got a few more things to say on this tomorrow. It's going to be a big show. I'm going to talk about, well, I feel bad in a way continuing on this. It's like, Martin, when are you going to stop hammering your friend? I know. I'm getting a little, you know, yeah, I'm squirming a little bit. But it has to be done. So I will tell you this tomorrow. I'm going to talk about an earlier writing Clyde did that says husbands are basically to be the slaves of their wives. And they give up potentially everything for the whim of a wife. Now, hey, listen, I love the opposing gender. I love the feminine. But there are certain principles that begin in Genesis. In Genesis even. That's way before 1 Corinthians 7 and even Ephesians. There are principles there with the first couple that still apply today. Tomorrow, I, Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, will get into it.